Welcome to the Logic Consortium. Today on the show, we're going to be playing an interview from June 16th of 2010 with immigration scholar and law professor Hiroshi Motomura. We're going to be talking broadly about immigration laws in the United States, reviewing a little bit of the history, talking about some misconceptions people may have about legalization, and he's going to be giving us his global all things considered approach he sees as the way forward. And finally, we're going to be talking about the chances he sees for an immigration reform bill to pass in Congress. Professor Motomura is an immigration law guru and very knowledgeable about the laws and the history. It's going to make for an interesting 25 minutes of discussion. Thanks so much, and please stick around. Professor, thanks so much for coming on the show. I wanted to kind of take a step back a little bit before getting into the nitty-gritty and ask, is it true that the greeting that we gave immigrants before 1921 was a much more welcoming one?
It depends on which country people are coming from and how you look at it. So, for example, if you look at sort of the story of Ellis Island and European immigration to the United States, so 1921 is the year that you start having limits. Before then, as you point out, if you were, beset with an illness, if you weren't disqualified under various reasons, then you were allowed in the country. But the situation was very different, for example, for Chinese immigrants, because starting in the 1880s, you had laws that expressly barred Chinese workers from coming to this country. So in that sense, 1921 is not the year for Asian immigration. If you're looking at restrictions, there are actually quite a few restrictions that go back to at least as far back as 1882 and even earlier, depending on how you look at it. So that's a piece of the history that's important. And so I think a lot of what's gone on in this country over the last couple hundred years is treating different people differently depending on what countries they're from, and it's really only when you get to 1965 that we have a law that's phrased in a way that seems to be pretty neutral.
Talking about the history in general of immigration in this country, would you characterize the country before 1921 as generally more welcoming to immigrants, a more open place?
Yeah, it depends on, there's an ebb and a flow here. And so, just to paint the history in really broad strokes, you start having some anti-immigrant sentiment directed against Europeans in about the 1840s and 1850s. And a lot of the reasons, that was largely directed against Irish Catholic and German Catholic immigrants. So in that sense, there would be these ebbs and flows of anti-immigrant sentiment followed by, what you call assimilation. So it's not uninterrupted history. You have the laws are generally welcoming, but there's discrimination against certain types of immigrants, and that could be done on the basis of race or religion. But also there was a big concern with political unrest. And so, there were, long before 21, you have efforts to keep out anarchists and the sort of thing that later evolves into keeping out communists, So I guess I'm making everything a little more complicated than it seems, but I think that what you're saying is true, that before 1921, the country is relatively open, but I would emphasize the word relatively. We also tend to forget how important religion was, because I think there's a great fear in the 1840s, 1850s, that with Catholics coming in, that was really upsetting, the traditional notion that America was a Protestant nation, and people worried that the Irish and the Catholics, especially Irish and German Catholics, would ever really become, real Americans.
But as you talked about, before 1921, there's this assumption that immigration was a transition to citizenship.
Right. And that's part of the story of race in a lot of ways, too. But, one of the things you're alluding to is the fact that back in the 19th century, the assumption was that when people showed up in this country, if they're eligible to become citizens, then they were treated as future Americans. And probably the biggest indication of that is that you were allowed to vote in many states if you declared an intent to become a citizen. And another key aspect of that is the Homestead Act. The Homestead Act was open to people who had just arrived There was a waiting period for citizenship, but you didn't have to go through that waiting period to actually get the right to citizenship. All you had to do was say, I'm going to become a citizen. And so that was kind of a marker of the thing that you're talking about. I mean, the key fact, though, is that you're only eligible to become a citizen if you're from Europe. And so that's another important piece of this as well. But that's really kind of the welcome that we gave to immigrants who were allowed to come legally at that time was really quite a bit more generous than it later turned out to be.
And an underlying theme that you point out is that how we treat immigrants says a lot about who we are as a country.
Right. It says quite a bit. I mean, I think that one of the things that's happened over the last 150 years or so is that this country used to be much more restrictive in terms of who the country let in. Racially restrictive, but I think that those who were let in were treated more generously. Now I think that the country is more racially open than it was, but the people we let in, we don't treat quite as generously. And all this, as you say, is tied up in this whole idea of what it really means to be a nation of immigrants. You know, one of the issues that's coming up right now that reflects this is the idea of whether you're going to bring people in for temporary workers, for example. That says a lot about whether you really think about immigrants as future Americans or whether you think about immigrants as someone, people who work for you. That's another example of the thing you're talking about.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to the Logic Consortium here on WLUW Chicago and our conversation with Professor Hiroshi Motomura that took place in June of 2010. We were just talking about past immigration laws and how welcoming the United States was as a country before 1921, which was the first year that there were caps and limits put on the number of immigrants that could come to the U.S. And now we're going to talk about the potential for more sustainable solutions, the fact that there's been many different types of immigration laws, and we really are here again trying to fix the system. So please stick around. Thanks so much. Professor, there's been a ton of different immigration laws since 1921, but none of them have really provided for sustainable solutions. Can you talk about this a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, what you may be alluding to is some of the stuff I've done recently on, how to think about short-term solutions and long-term solutions. Is that what you're getting at?
Yes.
Immigration law. Well, I mean, the thing that I'm focusing on, in something that I wrote recently, is there's a lot of talk in Congress now about legalizing people, and generally speaking, I think that that's a good idea for various things, reasons I can get into, but I want to say something a little more basic than that, and that is that it really doesn't do a whole lot of good to legalize people if you don't fix the system as a whole. If all you do is legalize people and don't do anything else, then the same issues are going to crop up in 5 or 10 years. It's actually no accident that if you look back to 1986, we had a legalization or an amnesty, whatever you want to call it. A lot of people got legal status, but the system really wasn't fundamentally changed. And so here we are, 24 years later, having the same discussion that took place in 1986. And so I think that the unfortunate thing about the politics of this is that there's so much political heat on the legalization question or the amnesty question. One side says that it's really essential and you really need to have it. The other side says, basically over my dead body, that this is just amnesty. I'm just afraid that the people who are for legalization are not going to get as much out of it as they want, because what will happen is you'll legalize people and then you're not really fixing anything, and then 10 or 15 years from now we'll face the same issues. And on the other side, the people who are opposed to legalization, I don't think they realize that actually limited legalization has been fairly commonplace throughout American history. So it's like one side is, both sides are fighting over something that is not really the issue, I think. It's drawn a lot of political heat. I'm not sure really, I don't think it deserves the political heat. I think it's much less radical than the opponents make it out to be. That is, legalization is not as radical as opponents make it out to be. But I also think the lasting benefits are not as profound or as lasting as some other ways of thinking about immigration law. I know that's a long answer, but I mean that's basically the idea, and that's why I think the politics has a little gotten heated to the point where people aren't talking about long-term solutions.
Right. As you point out, even if you're an ardent supporter of legalization, it's really focusing on backwards kind of looking a little
bit
and not towards the future of regulating the flow in the future.
Right.
Can you talk about some of the proposals that you see that are needed in a global approach that you kind of have been talking about?
Well, a couple of things. I mean, one is that there's clearly a demand in the U.S. economy for workers who are not able to come to the country legally right now. I mean, people often say, well, why don't they just come legally? Well, it turns out that there are not a lot of avenues for people to come to this country to do certain kinds of work. And it's work that seems to be very much in demand in this country. So, one of the things that I think needs to happen is to have a better match between the economy and the needs of the economy and the available workforce. I think that means that there should be more legal ways to come to this country to do work that does not require a college degree. That's one thing. The second thing is that I think there's a lot of attention paid to the fact that there are Americans who've been here for generations and who are in the position of being displaced sometimes by immigrant workers. And I think that immigration creates wealth in this country, but I think that a lot of it doesn't go to the benefit of the people who might be finding themselves in competition with immigrant workers. So I think that a lot of what we associate with the consequences of immigration is really a sad comment on the American educational system. In other words, if Americans feel that they're being displaced by immigrant laborers who have very little education, then that's really a sad comment on the fact that we've done very badly by the Americans who've been displaced. So that's solution, number two is to take the educational mission of this country much more seriously for the people who are already here. And the third thing, and maybe another quite global thing, is that I think one of the reasons that we have so much migration outside, legal avenues into this country is people feel they no longer have a viable economic life in Mexico and other parts of Latin America particularly. And I think that it would be expensive, but a very worthwhile investment for the United States to adopt more like a European Union solution, which is to invest in the Mexican economy and help build up the Mexican economy so people have jobs there. Because I don't think Mexicans fundamentally would want to come to the United States in anywhere the numbers that we have now, except for the fact that a lot of the Mexican economy has fallen apart in the last half generation or so. So those are three things I think are much more basic. And if you don't do anything about how we educate Americans, if you don't do anything about the Mexican economy, and you don't do anything about giving American employers some kind of access to a legal workforce, then you can legalize people, you cannot legalize people, and it's not really going to do a lot of good in the long term. I don't want to gloss lightly over the fact that you have a lot of human issues, and it's really important. There's a lot of human hardship involved, and it'll be ameliorated by legalization. And I don't want to downplay that. I think that's really important. But I think it's important to think about this. What kind of conversation are we going to have in the year, 2030 or year 2040? I don't want there to be a situation where we said, well, we fixed things. We look like we fixed things in the year 2010, but actually we're having the same conversation in 2030 that we had in 2010 because we didn't really do anything about the Mexican economy.
In talking about legalization or amnesty specifically, in some of your writings, you talk about some of the misconceptions the general populace might have about these concepts. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the basic misconception is that the line that is between the legal and the illegal is a clear line. That's one misconception. And a related misconception is that the line between the legal and the illegal is something that never gets crossed. And I guess the point I'm trying to, the couple points I'm trying to make here. I mean, one is that periodically through American history, the law and Congress and even the public has decided that there are groups of people who seem to be here illegally, but we think for combination reasons they should be given legal status, and either because they're innocent and came here for reasons beyond their control, or because they've earned the right to be regarded as illegal. One example of that is there are ways that the law says that if you have ties in this country and you've been here long enough and you don't have a criminal record, on an individual basis, you know, you can legalize. We don't really think of that as amnesty, but actually it is. It's an earned amnesty, but we have those programs. So, and that, those programs have existed since the early 20th century. It's just that we haven't done it for huge groups of people, but those programs exist. Another example, which is a little more dramatic, but it sort of underscores how much we take things for granted, is that we never think about people who are refugees from other countries as illegal immigrants. But actually, they always come without, well, they don't always, but a great many of them come without papers. But we don't think of them about them as legal. We give them legal status, and we give them legal status because we think that they're really not to blame. We think that they're worthy people, and it's important to protect them. The fact of the matter is, though, that is a legalization program for people who don't fit within the normal channels of coming to this country, you know, through legal visas and things like that. So, you know, that is another form of saying that the line between the legal and the illegal is not always that clear. We also have a lot of programs for people who are victims of crimes, victims of domestic violence, of human trafficking. We've done this. Another example is the way we treat Cubans, which is to give them, you know, legal status after they've been here for 1 year. This isn't necessarily saying that legalization is a good thing or a bad thing. What I'm trying to say, though, is that people shouldn't assume that this is rare, and people shouldn't assume that the line between the illegal and the illegal is one that isn't crossed all the time. It's a tougher question, you know, whether there should be a legalization program and what it should look like. But if it exists, if it's going to exist, it's not going to be that aberrational. It'll be. I think what Congress is talking about is bigger than we've had in some of the examples I've just given. But it's actually fairly commonplace historically for events to outrun the law. In other words, when, for example, after World War II, there was really no mechanism for refugees to come to this country. And I think that people really reacted with horror to the Holocaust and the idea that we really didn't have a mechanism for letting people in. And so we created those mechanisms. Now, you know, 50 years later, it just looks like normal immigration law. But actually, that was a legalization program, too.
Hello, you're listening to Logic Consortium Radio here on WLUW, Chicago's Sound Alliance. And we're talking with Professor Hiroshi Motomura about immigration laws. The approach he'd like to see is really a global approach, all things considered, not only talking about regulating the flow of workers to meet the demand, but also talking about investing in education in the United States and trying to make sure that our laws, at least, aren't hurting the Mexican economy, which is causing a lot of people to come over here. So it's a really global problem. We have to look to the future, not only potential amnesty or legalization. And now we're going to try to address some of the arguments against legalization of undocumented persons. So please stick around. Thanks so much.
And then, you know, when talking about the idea of whether we should have a legalization program or we shouldn't, some of the opponents will say, well, it will encourage future immigration. And you talk about that that's really an empirical question, and the data isn't clear that that's the case.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that there's this idea, and there are a lot of objections to legalization or amnesty. I mean, one is that is what you mentioned, which is that people think it will encourage illegal immigration. I think that I have a couple thoughts about that. I mean, one is that um, I you know, there are a lot of empirical studies that talk about, you know, or investigate why people come to this country. And people come to this country, you know, I think principally for work. They may come to, in a more general sense, of making a better life for their children. And, of course, that's related to work, too. I think that the idea that that they would be given amnesty or legalization somewhere down the road is so remote and so far down the list of reasons that whether or not there's a legalization is, whether there is legalization or not, is not going to influence the number of people who come to this country. The other studies show that people, even though a lot of them end up staying, a lot of people come to this country in order to work and go home. And so the idea that, so I think it's absurd to think that people in that situation will be influenced by the possibility that Congress will do something, you know, 5 years down the road. I think that what's really going on when people say that it will incentivize people to come to this country, I think what they're really talking about is not an empirical incentive, but the people who take that position are just troubled that this appears to endorse lawbreaking. You know, and that's a reaction I can understand, but I think it's just... But it's inconsistent with so many studies to think that that the possibility of an amnesty down the road is going to influence someone who's coming here to work for a short time to earn money to send home.
And then there's this encouraging law breaking in the abstract, as you kind of mentioned, which I don't think is such a strong argument, because if it's not really hurting anybody, undocumented persons working in this country, then what's the harm in it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, one thing is something I mentioned earlier, which is that to the extent that it does cause harm, I think that, in other words, if people feel, if American workers feel displaced, I think the solution is not necessarily to crack down on illegal immigration. The solution is to really look at exactly why those displacements occur. And so if people who have not had the education opportunity, who've been in this country for generations, the solution isn't to keep out people who are adding to overall economic growth in this country. The solution is to do better by those folks who haven't had the education opportunity, who deserve it, who've been here for generations. So the other thing to keep in mind, and this gets to address something you just said, is that so much of this is cyclical, right? So in the sense that, you know, in earlier times, maybe recently as 5-10 years ago, before the current economic troubles, you know, we were basically welcoming, national policy was welcoming a lot of undocumented workers, because, and you know, there would be crackdowns occasionally, and there was enforcement, but there were very few workplace raids and very little enforcement, except at the border. And the policy was really to tolerate people. And now, you know, with the economy getting worse, there's kind of a crackdown. But I mean, but what we've really done is treated people as kind of a disposable labor force. You know, we sort of let them in and let them work when we need them, and then when we don't need them, then we get all indignant about the fact that they've been breaking the law.
And finally, Professor, if you could look into your crystal ball and see if there's any opportunity for comprehensive immigration reform or some type of immigration bill to make it through Congress, do you see any potential?
Well, I don't see. Certainly, nothing's going to happen this year. We're far too close to the midterm elections, and there's too much uncertainty, and there's too many other issues that Congress has been facing. Of course, Congress has been focused on health care and then financial regulation. There'll be the Supreme Court confirmation hearing, not to mention whatever's going on with environmental disaster. And so I think what you're going to see in the next, in the current period, I mean, really up to the midterm elections, is skirmishing on exactly, you know, what the terms of debate will be and with legislation being introduced, maybe some hearings and things like that. But I don't think anything's going to happen. I think what happens after the midterm elections depends very much on, you know, how those elections turn out. I think that Congress will take a serious look at this, you know, in next year, in the year 2011. I think that a lot of what's going on in Arizona and sort of these brush fires throughout the country are putting the spotlight on the issue, and I think Congress will look at it. So I don't have a crystal ball to say what's going to happen. My own hope is that the Congress will start modestly and really think about something like the DREAM Act, which is a very limited legalization program for people who've grown up in this country, who were brought here as children through decisions not their decisions, and who've done well and are either in school or interested in serving the military. And I'm hoping and that there's some close attention paid to that. And I think that's much more politically realistic than a broad scale legalization program.
Professor Motomura, thanks so much for sure. The interview and your time.
Okay, thanks for talking. I guess we're all set.
Yeah, we're all set, and I'll send you the link.
Thank you.
All right, thanks so much. Have a great day.
Bye.
You're listening to the Logic Consortium, and that was our conversation with Professor Hiroshi Motomura in June of 2010. Really trying to talk about the history of immigration laws in this country, what he sees as the way forward in terms of a sustainable solution. He thinks amnesty or legalization could be very good, but you really need to regulate the flows and the amount of people that are allowed to come to this country so we're not in this position in a number of years. And so thanks so much for listening. This music is by Scientific Map, a local band here in Chicago. You can check them out on their MySpace page. You're listening to Logic Consortium Radio. You can look for us on iTunes or anywhere else on our blog. So thanks so much for listening here on WLUW Chicago Sound Alliance. Have a great day.